Power in the wrong hands is dangerous. And in the world today, there's worldly powers. There's the power that our nation has used, the air power, to, if not destroy, to eradicate a lot of terroristic strongholds in Afghanistan. And that air power was so superior and so potent that the Northern Alliance was able just to take over some important strategic places without much opposition.
Amen.
Now that's resounding power.
Oh, yeah.
In a worldly way.
Yeah.
And then there's police power.
Yeah.
If you don't believe me, try going 85 in a 55-mile zone and see if you don't see some of those.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Those lights swirling around directing you to pull over.
Uh-huh.
And you don't want to pull over. But that power will make you pull over. But if that policeman tells you to get out of the car and he starts beating you, then he has used a power that is not really invested in him.
Right.
He had power to pull you over.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And that is legal.
Yes.
But to go beyond and start beating you when you haven't did anything to merit that,
right,
that is abusive power.
Yes.
Yes.
There's political power, the power for one man or in his political party to wage a campaign that would put him in an office. That's political power.
Yes, amen.
You wouldn't want, if you was a father, to give your six-year-old son a power saw, would you? That would be power in the wrong hand, wouldn't it?
Amen.
You wouldn't want to get in a cab and trust a cab driver that was legally blind to get you to the airport, would you?
No.
He has a car. He has the ability to accelerate the car. But would you want him and trust him to get you to where your destination is?
No.
That would be placing your self in jeopardy by giving that individual power to have access to drive you somewhere. I don't think any of us in here would get into a car with someone that was legally blind, would you? They had the eight cylinders under the hood, but you wouldn't trust. You wouldn't trust them with that power. Does God have more sense than us?
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Thank God.
There was a man, if somebody will find that scripture, where Simon was wanting the Holy Ghost.
Paid for it.
He was.
Just Acts the 8th chapter.
Yeah, you can start reading there. And
what is it?
Acts the 8th chapter, and I guess the 18th verse.
Good head.
And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this manner, in this matter. For thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity."
You can stop there. Get anything out of this?
Reading back in the 13th verse, it says, "Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done."
Mm-hmm.
He saw quite a bit.
Yes. His desire, it was from the wrong motivation.
He was
said to believe, but his motivation in desiring the Holy Ghost was off base. There was something in him that wanted miracle power.
Yeah.
And signs to be done.
Through his hands.
Through his hands.
Yes.
But without the life to back it up.
Amen.
Like I said, you wouldn't want to give your 6-year-old a power saw. God is choosy who he gives his power to.
Amen. Yes.
Went on to state here that he was in a state of bitterness.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I had an experience not too long ago. I attended a revival meeting, and after the service, one of the sisters wanted to visit with us, and she was needing some help. So, in the course of the time we were together, she admitted she had bitterness in her heart to her mother.
Oh.
She is a mother, she is a grandmother, and she's been desirous of her children being saved, and God has saved one of her children. But this was her confession, that I have bitterness toward my mother. And she also confessed she didn't want to go to hell because of that.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
She prayed, we called on the Lord.
Yeah.
And I haven't got back with her since that time on how things are going with her. But this was something that had been plaguing her and plaguing her and plaguing her. would she been eligible for the Holy Ghost to give her the gift of miracles?
No. Lord help us.
The Lord don't want to put his precious gifts in the hands of immature.
That is the truth.
Amen.
That's so.
That is the truth. Yes.
Individuals. To have power placed in the wrong people's hands is destruction.
Yes.
Pharaoh was a mighty man and had mighty power, but how he made people suffer.
Yeah.
So, to be eligible for the power of the Holy Ghost, and it says in Acts, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. But the Holy Ghost is a discerner of each one's spiritual condition.
Yes.
The intents of the heart.
He knows the thoughts.
Yes, amen.
And the intents. And he knows if you're qualified to handle a gift of miracles.
Yes.
And whatever you're qualified for, he has the power to provide.
Amen.
So, a person has to be in a certain spiritual condition to have these things imparted.
That's so.
Yes. Amen.
A person could do a lot of damage if they were spiritually immature and God would give them some very outstanding ability.
So.
The work of God could suffer and could be hampered and hindered by these things.
Yes.
So, if for the desire to be there for the miracles and the signs, that shouldn't ever get ahead of having a clean life.
Amen.
See, Simon had the desire for the miracles and the signs, but he had bitterness in his heart, and he was disqualified from being able to even get the Holy Ghost without the imparting of the gifts. And so today, the important thing is to have the way clear.
Yes. Amen.
The apostles, I don't think that they sought just a particular gift or something, but when they got in shape there in that upper room, then they were in a position to receive the dynamic power and working of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So, those who have desires and longings for miracles, don't stop that. Don't stop wanting or seeking.
Yes.
But don't let that be the priority. Let the priority be that clean life and
a pure heart.
And a pure heart.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then that will have more weight with the Lord than just the desire for the evidences.
Yeah.
And being filled with the Spirit a person has fruit born out of their life. What is that fruit in Galatians, the fifth chapter? You know, Jesus was able to do all of those mighty miracles and walk on the water and stop a funeral procession, do all those great and mighty things. But you know, something even greater than that was the ability to forgive.
Yes,
if we cannot forgive, the Holy Spirit sure not going to invest any powers in us. If we don't manifest out this fruit of the Spirit, that is, if you got that Galatians 5 and what is it, 22?
The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Amen.
Now that is the manifestation of the Spirit.
Yes.
The miracles is a gift of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But the real manifestation of the Spirit is this.
Yes.
What she just read.
Yes.
The fruit.
Yes.
And you remember when Jesus come to that tree that didn't have fruit on it? It was very visible. And it had been planted for fruit production.
Yes.
It wasn't a shade tree. It wasn't put there for beauty. But it was put there for production.
Yes.
And when the owner would come for that fruit, he would go away disappointed every year. 3 years in succession. The last time he come, he said, cut it down.
It's just
a nuisance. Mm-hmm. It wasn't productive. And besides its non-productiveness, it was taking up
space.
Cumbered the ground.
Mm-hmm. And it was taking up the nutrients out of the ground, depleting the soil of its nutrients. And also was shading the vines, the grapevines, and keeping the sun from the developing of the little grapes. So it was also cutting off the flow of sun to the grapes.
Yeah.
See? The Lord was wanting fruit.
Yeah.
That was the manifestation that he wanted from that tree. And that tree describes an individual.
Yeah.
It's deeper. It's a parable that wants to bring forth a thought, and it's more than just being something to fill up space. It is actually describing an individual's life.
Yeah.
They had a profession. They were very obvious.
Yeah.
People could see them more than they could see the fruit-bearing grapes. And they were taking from the soil the good things without any give back. Just existing. And the owner says, cut it down.
Yeah.
He was looking for fruit. He wanted fruit. And that is what God wants. Those who have the Holy Spirit is the fruit.
Yeah.
And then when he can see they're mature enough to perhaps impart to them something special, a gift of miracles or whatever, then that's up to him to decide.
Yes. Amen.
The fruit first.
Yes.
The manifestation, the fruit first. And Simon's fruit was what? Bitter. Bitter fruit. Instead of love, he had bitterness.
Yeah.
And he didn't get the Holy Ghost, did he? Or in a miracle?
No.
He didn't. So, for whatever this is worth.
John the 15th chapter, I am the true vine, my Father the husbandman.
Yeah.
And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he's not done with it.
No.
And so he purges it.
Yes. Bring forth more.
Yeah.
Have you ever known anyone that had the gift of miracles? Who?
My wife's
mother. Well, Tim Brown.
My mother had it.
Your mother. What kind of life did she live?
A humble life.
A humble life.
Submissive to her husband.
A
sinner. Who was not saved. She wasn't saved. She was submissive to the saints. She was the head cook at the kitchen. She was also the Sunday school teacher for the young people. And she was a worker in the community. She would teach the young mothers how to take care of their babies. She would go in.
What's some of the miracles that she was able to, through her power with the Lord, able to perform?
Well, I can. The first miracle that I saw, I was about 6 years old, and my baby brother was four. She had six girls, and she had a son. And he died. He was on a cot in the living room. She sent us outside, but we could hear inside. And his breathing was shaking the whole. Was just shaking. Seeing the whole room. Anyway, the shaking stopped, and I heard her crying. And she was just crying, and then after a while, she started thanking the Lord. And she said he was dead, and the Lord raised him up. It was a little while. I remember one time we were we were poor, and our father was away from home. He had money, but he was there drinking and not bringing any food home. And she was expecting, she was waiting, you know what I mean, expecting a child. She couldn't just go where he was. So we didn't have any food in the house, and it was a number of us there. And I remember she was there in the kitchen sitting. And I came to her and I told her, Mother, I'm hungry. And that's something we didn't hardly do, but she told me, she said, Baby, I know you are. She said, the Lord is going to give us some food. And she didn't move from that place. She just got on her knees right then and there. And we were like all around in the kitchen, all of us sitting around a table there. And she didn't get off of her knees. She was there praying. And while she was praying, there was a knock on the door, and she said, thank the Lord. She got up, and of course, that was grocery there. But anyway, when I was 14, I had a stroke. And it was a real hot summer. It was a number of people in the community that had strokes. That's really how I knew what it was. And I went to school, and my principal told me not to come back until I found out what was wrong with me. And that may have been like on a Thursday or something. But anyway, I told my mother what the principal said. And she told me, she says, do you believe if you were anointed and prayed for that the Lord will heal you? And, well, anytime she prayed, I knew the Lord would heal. So I told her, yes. Well, I was anointed and prayed for. And my face straightened up.
Thank the Lord.
And there were other people in the community that got over their got over the, you know, our face was twisted. They got over the stroke, but their face remained twisted. You know, it's just so. And there were other times. I had a brother that had I believe he had rheumatic fever, and they were checking, they were giving the children check up at school. They found out he had a hole in his heart, a murmur or something, and oh, they wanted to just rush him to the doctor. My mother prayed for him, and the Lord healed.
Thank the Lord.
Sorry, and I can just go on. And she explained to us after we got old enough to understand that since her husband was not saved and he would always be wanting to give us medicine, she asked the Lord to just help her to be able to pray the prayer of faith before he could get to us to give us medicine. But he went beyond that, because I could go on, and I'm sure Sister Tiny could tell some things too. But anyway, we know that she had to get through, and it wasn't just for her family. She would pray for other people, and the Lord would miracles. But also, Sister Lizzie Jordan, she was also a person that had the gift of miracles.
What kind of person was she?
She was a holy woman. She was a person that, she wasn't a selfish person. She was, she would just walk places and look for things to do, you know, for the Lord. And she was a praying woman.
Yes.
She was a praying woman.
Yeah, when she had faith,
she, as a young woman, she was. My mother said she was a beautiful woman, but her husband abused her so. He really abused her to the point that she had a nervous breakdown, but that didn't stop her from praying.
Thank the Lord.
He'll live 103.
Yes, one of the miracles that I know about was Sister Jordan. My aunt had some hogs, and they lived on a farm, and they depended on things like that. Well, the sow was carrying some pigs, and they didn't need to lose that hog. They had a number of children, and they. She came through there walking, and they told her, you know, that about the hog. She learned about the hog, and you know what she did? She went and she knelt there in the mud, in that hog pen, and she told the Lord that they didn't need to lose it. She was dying. It was a hot summer, and it was the sow was dying. She wouldn't get up. She was dying. She would not eat. But you know what happened? The Lord raised that hog up. The hog got well and had those pigs, and it lived, and the babies lived.
And some of them probably had pigs.
Probably. That was just one of the things.
You know, someone had a miracle.
Sister Jordan, I'd like to tell this to the glory of God. She came to Bakersfield when my mother was real ill, and she stayed there with us. And Stockton was having a meeting, and that's the reason why I say she's a woman of faith. She had faith to believe. We gave her her fare, and she. I didn't know where the meeting house was. She did not know where the meeting house was. She got the Greyhound bus and went to Stockton. And the Lord went before her. Provided a lady there. And she went to this lady, sent her to the right lady. Asked her, did she know where Lincoln and Mosswood was it? Lincoln and Mosswood Street. And the lady told her where she lived there. And it was a little store there nearby. where the saints were down here, and this little store was down here. The lady didn't know where the little church was down there. So the lady took her to to the store there. She came to the store, and she saw two saints, Vivian Adley and Irene, walking, and saw them. And they took her. I know this. This happened. I knew that. She was a woman of faith. I know that. Yes, yes.
She said she had the gift of faith.
I would believe that. I never heard no one say it, and I didn't know all the things that Sister Juanita was saying. But I knew her, and I know some of her. She would walk here, walk in, and praying and going. Yes, she faithful. Loved to hear her pray when she couldn't even. Her mind was gone, they say. But dear Jesus, she could talk to her Jesus.
I kind of never before.
Yes, never before. Yes, I was back there. I believe when she was 96 years old. I was in Tulsa, and she prayed. And I got it on tape somewhere. Wish I could find it. Yes.
She's alive today and 103.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Brother John was a man of miracles, I believe.
What kind of man was he?
A godly man. Brother Chandler, Isaac Chandler. I heard him tell of a cousin, someone there in Bakersfield. I wasn't there to see it, but I heard him tell of that miracle. Lord raised that man up. And yeah.
It seems like any time Brother Chandler prayed for anyone that had problems, they were healed. Go to the hospital, and people wouldn't even be saved. And he prayed for them, and God would heal them.
Didn't he go to get
I remember this. I forgot. Thank the Lord for bringing this to my mind about Brother Chandler. When Brother Hartgrave lost his father in Ohio, Brother Hartgrave wanted Brother Chandler to come to preach that funeral. He didn't know anything about him, but he had met Brother Chandler, and he just wanted his family to know of Brother Chandler. So he wanted Brother Chandler to come. Los Angeles had given Brother Chandler a check. And this was on the day after that Saturday, I guess, 4th of July. But anyway, he went to Alpha Beta Market there in Bakersfield, right on the corner of Brandage and 8th Street. That's what was there. He went to that market and had his check. Well, a two-party check, you know how hard that is to get cash.
Yes.
So when he walked in the store, I know the girl, she was a black girl. She was married to my brother-in-law's nephew. I don't know what happened to her. She had a fit. She fell out. Something right there. And Brother Chandler helped the manager to take her back in the back, and they called 911. By the time 911 got there, Brother Chandler taking her back there, praying for her, all the way back there, prayed for her, and by the time they got there, the girls were ready to go back to checking. She was at the check stand.
Did she cash his check?
No, when he come back up there, you know, like they got to have you this and you that, and the man just signed his check and sent him home. And he went home too. Now that happened in my day. I know that. I know of that incident, know the girl.
Sister Mary, I'd like to tell about something that happened here in Pacoima. When Kenya was born, she had problem in her body, and they wouldn't let them bring her home. They took her to the children's hospital because she couldn't live in the condition she was in. Mm. And they had her in this place. It was a lot of babies around. And we, Gorita had been there, and she knew some of the cases, like it was a baby of twins, and the little boy, they wasn't expecting him to live, and the little girl, she was in a little better shape than the boy, but they were both bad off. And it was just a lot of babies. We would go and visit at the hospital, you know, and There was a lot of babies there. So Lolita got permission to let Brother Doolittle come and anoint and pray for the baby.
Yes.
So we went up there with them, and Brother Doolittle went in there, and we were not with him, so we don't know what he prayed. But anyway, he prayed for the baby there in the hospital, and so we brought him on back home. So the next day, we went to see the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got there, the baby wasn't in the room, mm-hmm. and Colita was saying, well, something must have happened, because my baby's not there, and the twins are not there, and it was just hardly no babies in there. There wasn't hardly no baby there. And I'm talking about, these were some very serious cases, cases that they just said that they, some of the children was just, and surely all those babies didn't die last night, you know. So she, naturally, being the mother, she went and inquired. And they told her that all of those babies had a remarkable recovery. All of them. They took them out.
Praise the Lord. And
we were there. They took them out of that place, and it was just like maybe a couple of babies in there, and they were new.
Mass healing, huh?
A mass healing. You must have prayed for all those babies.
He did.
Yeah,
no, brother.
We went in, and the place was almost empty, you know?
Give me a 50-50 chance or something. I remember when it was.
Right.
I remember they something.
Was,
I can't.
They were saying that if they did something, you know, to try to correct it was a 50-50 chance. She had no chance if they did do something.
I can't remember the whole
and they just took her from the hospital on over to the.
Serious. Yes.
But after that prayer. And that was the miracle.
Yes.
I mean, babies that they would just tell us this was got a hole in his heart, and they just didn't expect the twin boy to live, and the little girl was in a better shape, but she was in critical condition. Mm-hmm. That night, she was in that, they were in that condition. And the next day, they were all moved out of intensive care. And some of them were going home. That was a miracle.
And that was in my day. I remember, I was not there with them, but I remember what she's talking about, because I remember we were joining in prayer here, you know. But I remember when Brother Dula, yes, I do, I remember that.
One of my young children also had a condition that they had suffered for at least over a year and a half. And I prayed and prayed and asked the saints to pray and had the baby anointed, and the baby just suffered and suffered. And I was trying to trust the Lord, you know, for the baby. And I finally called Brother Chandler. What happened was this baby, something was wrong with his rectum. And it finally had a piece of meat or something just hanging about this big. The baby was 18 months old. And it had this, it just really scared me. I couldn't understand what in the world was that. Was that a little tumor? What was it? Anyway, I called for Brother Chandler to come and pray for my baby. When Brother Chandler said, amen, that was gone. It wasn't there. No more. Just
yes.
I didn't know about it. I took it to the hospital. They were going to have to operate on it. And another time, Brother Chandler's wife was, the Lord had mentioned that he wanted her to go to a certain meeting.
Yeah, I remember that.
And Brother Chandler told his wife that they were going to have a storm because everything was black. And he asked her two or three times, are you sure that the Lord told you to go?
Mm-hmm.
He says, and she said, yes, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, a storm is coming. And I said, how the Lord was telling her to go, and they had to walk, mm-hmm. and a storm was coming.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, he said they got the little baby and they got this suitcase, and they started out walking, going to the station. And he said, it just got blacker and blacker, and all of a sudden, this just rain just started pouring down. And he said, not a drop of rain got on him and his wife. And they went all the way to the station without a drop of rain, and yet it was just pouring down on both sides of them. And yet there was a drop fell on them. But they got to the station, got to the door, and they looked back, they saw that hole closing. it up where they had walked, just like this. And then it got right to the door and just really came down.
Lord.
So the Lord meant for to go, but he didn't intend for them to get in the race.
Well, Sister Taylor just related there Saturday how it had hailed.
Mm-hmm.
Right down to their
front.
And then stopped. Mm-hmm.
Save their front.
Who did that?
Not me.
Well, we can actually believe God. He can do. Brother Chandler said he stopped telling that people got where they wouldn't believe him.
Mm.
He told about what happened to him. They just see so much unbelief today. They
didn't
can't
make
believe
sense,
the miracles. Can't believe God can do anything, really.
Mr. Mary, I was in Oregon a few years ago. It must have been the early 70s or late 60s or something. There was a little boy there. His feet would walk this way, walk over his feet that way.
Could you speak up a little louder? We can't hear you.
Oh, I was telling when I was in Oregon back some years ago, late 60s or early 70s, it was a little boy there, and his little feet, he walked over his feet like that. And they prayed for him. Well, I didn't see him anymore until he was big boy or grown and his feet were straight.
Praise the Lord.
That was Loretta Miles' is
Erwin Watford. Yes. Had a real bad case of rheumatic fever.
Yeah, remember him feet straight?
He was very crippled up.
All these young people, I'm sure, know Brother Taylor. Brother Taylor was born with his feet turned backwards.
Legs
turned completely backwards. And when you see him up there preaching, you see his feet are straight. God did a miracle and turned them completely around.
Yeah.
I have a track. Annabelle Allen, his sister, and his sister Johnson. One, I told her brother about my track. She called out here, and I should have went and got her a copy or something. But I sent my track back there, and she hasn't sent it back. I guess I'll have to call her. But I have that track from Annabelle Allen, and it told all about it. So I'm gonna get that and get some copies. Yes, that's from brother Charles Taylor. And how she was young at that time.
Yeah.
Yes. Everybody don't have to have the gift of miracles, but they can have a gift of faith. Sister Moses, that little boy, they were on a picnic somewhere, and the little baby died. Lord, let's turn over to pray. She prayed for the baby, and Lord, healed the baby. That's Alan there in Missouri right now.
He ate some ham that was spoiled.
He actually died.
Yes.
Food
poison.
Yeah.
God
still doing miracles.
Sister Beverly, right on the campground, you know, in her family, they sometimes have lots of bad hearts. And when she came here to be our pastor, her heart was bad then. A lot of times if she would preach, she'd have to go home, go to bed. And so it just got worse and worse and worse. So she was down for, I don't know, 2 months back there and had to have care, you know, day and night. And all of us, the young people, all praying, you know, for our pastor. And so one day, Sister Clark in L.A. called and asked me to, could I come and pick her up and take her and bring her down here. And so I said yes. I picked her up and brought her down here. And all the young people and all, we had the sorrows and just different ones in our group that day. And all of us, they were all gathered around her bed praying. Sister Clark was praying. They were just agreeing. Different ones had prayed, and Sister Clark prayed. And these young people had saw her just about die. They heard with the heard of the heaven death rattle.
Yes.
And her eyes went back up in her head, and just looked like she was going. And do you know what? The Lord healed her. She couldn't even talk. And finally she said, the work is done. Real low. And so the Sister Clark said, get out of bed then. Get out of bed. And so she was just, had Sister Beverly's arm. Come on, Sister Beverly. She said, well, wait a minute, Sister Clark. And she gonna get off out of bed. So they got the robe around her. And soon as her feet hit the floor, she almost leaped to the ceiling.
Yes. And took off running.
I mean, and then she just took off running. She run out of that bedroom and run off. Right there, that parsonage. Lord, she run. Every time she'd see somebody, she'd grab them and just jump up down like this. Then she'd take off running again. Lord, she's her heart.
Yes.
She'd have been dying. She lost. heart problems, but she's still living.
She's still healing.
Tell about Sister Trudy's healing right over there.
Right, okay, I'll tell you about that. Now, Sister Trudy, I had asked the Lord one day if the Lord couldn't heal Sister Trudy. She had had this tumor 9.5 years. And I asked the Lord if he couldn't heal her for my sake. I feel I have faith in God. If she couldn't heal her for the saint's sake, Lord, would you just heal her for your name's sake? Just
yes.
You to get the glory.
Amen.
So a few days later, the Lord gave me a verse of scripture, and I knew he'd given it to him, and it says, it is time for thee, Lord, to work.
Yes.
I think it's Psalms 126, 119. Exactly why he gave it to me. So one Sunday, we knew Sister Trudy was real bad. She couldn't do nothing. She was just helpless there in that baby. And we knew that if she didn't have something done, she's going to die. She was just that bad off. And she looked like she had, when she was up and walking, she looked like she had triplets. I mean, her stomach was way out there. It was
three times now.
Huh? Oh, it was. She got where she couldn't walk. That tumor was so big, and it was pressing up on the heart. So I'm gonna make this real brief. Anyway, when I came down here that Sunday, someone told me Sister Beverly wanted me out in Parsons. She knows that I have faith, and so I went out there, and she told me Sister Trudy was real bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said, we're going to anoint her and pray for her. So she did. She anointed Sister Trudy. And then we all got down with just she, me, and I, and Sister Beverly. And got out, and Sister Beverly started praying. We were just all agreeing. You know, she was doing the praying. All of a sudden, the Lord brought that scripture to my mind he'd given me. And this scripture said, it is time for thee, Lord, to work.
Mm-hmm.
So I started pulling it back to the Lord. I said, Lord, it's time for thee to work. It's time for thee to work. I knew right then that Sister Trudy was healed.
Yes.
I hadn't seen her because she had her face to the wall. She wasn't even facing us. Her back was to us. We just kneeling around the bed praying. And so when Sister Beverly got through praying, she told her, like Sister Clark, she said, come on, Sister Trudy, we want you to get out of bed. Now, Sister Trudy hadn't been even out of bed. She wasn't, you know, for about, 3 or 4 months. So anyway, Sister Trudy just laid there. She didn't move or nothing. So she said, come on, Sister Trudy, we want you to get up out of the bed. So finally, Sister Trudy started moving a little bit, you know, trying to, do nothing, but anyway, she was trying to get up out of the bed. She took a little time, and finally, she got to the edge of the bed, and then finally, she stood up. She's just as big as ever now. I knew she was healed. So the Lord spoke to me, and he said, talk to her and build up her faith. So our first thing I asked Sister Trudy was, Sister Trudy, I have a question I want to ask you, and I want to answer. I said, now who are you going to trust, God or the devil? She didn't answer. I said, I want an answer. Who are you going to trust, God or the devil? So finally she said, well, I'm going to trust the Lord. I said, good. And they said, let's sing a song. So we all sang a song for her. And so then I went back asking her, talking to her some more. All of a sudden I said, Sister Trudy, you've been standing on your feet here before us for 15 minutes. Do you feel any pain, any suffering, anything? She said, no. I said, can't you see God's done something for you?
Mm-hmm.
And she took that in so far that she said, well, I'm going to put on my clothes and go to church. And then when she said that, and she's out here, that tumor disappeared.
Dropped.
Mm-hmm. Nothing come out, and that just disappeared just like that, like she didn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
So the truth went and took her a bath?
No, she did some jumping over there first.
Now, this is a modern miracle that happened right here in Pacoima.
Yeah, and then we come over here and broke up church, don't you?
Yeah. anyway, her sisters, both of them, they were angry because they felt she was going to die, and they were blaming the saints for her trust in God.
Yes.
It was her decision to trust God. We just figured we were just going along with her.
Yes.
And so they were mad, see, because they figured she going to die, and we were responsible, the saints. And so, but when they saw Sister Trudy, one was the cook over here in the home, and the other was one of the nurses. When they saw Sister Trudy, I guess from over there, coming out that door, coming over here from there down here,
Truly, is that you? They couldn't believe it. This miracle happened. What happened? And one of them, when she's taking a bath with him there, they said, Truly, what happened to your stomach? What happened? They couldn't believe it. This was a modern miracle that happened right in this congregation. So, well, God's still the same. He just working.
Yes.
People don't have faith in it. Yes. They can't believe and can't trust, and he can't work. You tie his hands.
Yes. Amen.
God is at work.
I won't even tell all the miracles.
Amen.
Well, Brother Ptolemy kind of summarized what we've been trying to get across here today. Got off on miracles here, but...
Well, we're just speaking about power. And to summarize,
we came here.
I said, well, we started speaking
about.
Why
don't you come up here?
That's right. Or at least stand up.
Yes.
Stand up. Loud voice. We started speaking about power and how power in the wrong hands can be dangerous and destructive.
Yes.
And how we all want the power of God in our lives, but we should really focus and concentrate on having a life where he can trust us with his power, because God won't give his power or gifts to immature Christians that he can't trust with the gifts that he gives to them, because the gifting of God in the wrong hands will bring reproach on this to his name instead of praise and glory and honor.
Thank you very much.
Thank the Lord.
Did he state that well?
Very well.
I just want to throw this right in, that you were talking about power of the Holy Spirit. Well, in a way, these were just things that the Spirit did.
Yes.
None of us could have done anything. These were powers that the Spirit manifested himself in doing. See, that was power.
And he really wants to do more.
And it's according to our faith.
Yes.
Now, and when the Lord does something, you got to fight hard to keep it.
Yes.
As the devil will put it back on you.
That's so.
You have to fight to
get it. You got to fight to keep it. And fight to keep it. And then, and if you don't get your back that way, he gonna be around trying to afflict you another way, or another way, or another way. It's a fight, saint.
Yeah. Warfare.
It's a fight of faith.
Yeah.
Day by day. Day by day.
People say that the ministry don't have the power that they used to have for healing. I said,
so.
The Bible says according to your faith.
Amen. Yes.
Not the minister's faith, your faith.
Yes.
Might pray for you. You got faith to believe it. God answers. Sister Sagatha, can you sing some of that song, Keep the Faith?
Before you sing that, I wanted to bring up Doubting Thomas. So thank the Lord that they put him in the Bible. There's always going to be some that have a hard time believing. Jesus said, blessed is he that hath not seen and yet believe. Amen.
The word also says, thou teach thyself. If you want to be a teacher and a preacher, you're going to have some fruit and some examples. Something so that somebody can see. Because that says, thou that teachest another not to steal, dost thou steal? Thou that teachest another not to commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Now, these are things in the Word. So how can you teach someone and you haven't had any experiences, any power, any manifestation in your own life? You can't do it, because otherwise it's just words.
Amen.
Keep the faith.
Though the day is dark, keep the faith, keep the faith. And press towards the mark, keep the faith, keep the faith. Till your journey's there, keep the faith, keep the faith. And put your trust in Him, keep the faith, keep the faith. And in your heart, keep the faith, keep the faith. And let it not depart.
I know
He'll do just what He said if you only keep the faith. I know the Lord will lead you, and I know He'll take you through. Keep the faith, never doubt Him, for He knows what to do. If you're hungry, He will feed you. All alone, He'll take you with Him. I know He'll do just what keep the faith. Although you have to cry, keep the faith. When loved ones pass you by, keep the faith. If there's a brighter day, keep the faith. And walk in the way.